The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, this is Ben Wright Human, author of the webcomics Cospain and the Letters of the Devil, and you are listening to the PVD Cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 249. I hope you're doing well, and I hope this past weekend you got your fill of some great wrestling action. SummerSlam was this past Sunday. Last Saturday was NXT TakeOver 30. I actually totally forgot, too, that AEW was on Saturday night because of a change in the schedule on TNT. And there was a host of other independent shows going on. So last weekend was kind of like a cornucopia of wrestling goodness. And to discuss some of that wrestling goodness, specifically the WWE's presentation of SummerSlam and NXT TakeOver 30, I am joined by the pro wrestling pundits, DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Rand. We're going to talk all about those two events. We're going to dissect them and talk about the winners, the losers, maybe some of the storylines coming out from those two events. And, you know, it's always a fun time to have the guys on. They were just on last week to give their predictions and their opinions on what they thought might happen. And so let's see how well we did, shall we? Because some of our predictions are right, some of our predictions were wrong. Since these episodes tend to be a little bit longer in length, let's get right on into some important announcements, and then you'll hear our discussion of SummerSlam and NXT TakeOver 30. So the first announcement that I need to take care of is the fact that this episode is brought to you by the great sponsor, World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. They have tons of comics from every era, the golden era, the silver era, the bronze era, even the modern era as well. They've got graphic novels, collections, various different collectibles, toys, posters, back issues, and one heck of a pull system. So if you ever fear that you might miss a single issue of your favorite comic, just sign up for the pull system and you'll never have to worry ever again, because as that comic comes out, it's pulled and held for you until you come in and pick it up. So check them out by going over to the store, once again located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, or check them out online at wgcomics.com, and you can even find them on Facebook. Just search for at WG Comics. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, you can hear the PVD Cast every single Monday night through Redline Radio LLC. Just simply go over to redlineradiollc.com or visit them on Facebook at Redline Radio LLC, or better yet, if you're an Android phone user, all you got to do is go over to the Google Play Store, find the Redline Radio LLC app, click it, install it in your phone, and you, my friend, can take the station with you wherever you go, and you can check out all the great shows and all the great music on Redline Radio LLC. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, let's throw it to a break, and on the other side of the break, I sit down with DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Rand to talk about SummerSlam. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back at it. We are just a few days removed from a huge weekend of wrestling action. Of course, I'm talking about SummerSlam, talking about NXT TakeOver 30. And once again, I'm joined by the pro wrestling pundits. Ringside Rand, how are you this evening?
Life is good here in the Golden Ghetto. Things are looking up.
Things are looking up. All right. That's a great $1 million man action figure, by the way, on your desk there.
As he should be.
Oh, you're putting him on your shoulder now. I see. DJ Joy Blaze, the other half of the Pro Wrestling Pundits, how are you, sir?
Doing swell, thank you, like I said earlier, as the crowd cheers for me. Feeling good and doing even better. Just taking a burlap sack and making it look like a cashmere sweater.
All right. Well, gentlemen, let's just start off with a few kind of like our overall opinions of SummerSlam, shall we? So overall, Joey, what'd you think of the show?
We going on the five body slam rating again?
We are going on the five body slam. That's correct. Five being an awesome event, one body slam being pretty lousy. What are you going
with? Well, I'm going to give it three body slams. I mean, it could have pushed 3.5. Some stuff was stale. I thought some matches ran a little long. But the overall experience, it was nice to see it in the Thunderdome. That helped. Stories were told. It was nice to see a few things, but it could have been better. I think if it had been in the PC, it would probably been a 1.5. I'll be honest. I think the Thunderdome made a big difference in my opinion on it, so I gave it 3.5 body slams.
Rand, what did you give the event overall?
I'm in that same general area. I'm going just over 3 as well. I think the DJ said going into the Thunderdome really helped a lot. And I liked just about all the matches.
Yeah, and I'll echo that sentiment as well. I really like Thunderdome. It was something different. It's not going to be the same as having fans there, but it was something different, and it had a different feel to it, and I liked it, so I thought that was good. Guys, I gave it 4 body slams. I thought SummerSlam was pretty solid this year. You know, and I think that – and I agree with you, Joey, that if it was in the PC, it's not getting a 4 body slams. It's not. I think that the being in that bigger venue and having Thunderdome worked out swimmingly for them.
Ooh, nice word. Nice word.
Yeah, I bust them out every once in a while. All right, well, let's break down the matches and see what we thought and what we predicted last week in regards to some of these matchups. We start with the match on the pre-show, which is the U.S. title on the line as Apollo Crews defeated MVP. Joey, what did you think of this match?
It was a solid match. It kind of lacked something, though. I don't know what it was. I mean, it's a match they could have had on Raw, you know, let's be honest. So that's the thing. It was supposed to be this big U.S. title match, and it was just kind of lackluster. I don't know. I feel like Apollo, I'm glad to see him where he's at, but I feel like he's missing something. Exactly what it is, I don't know. But this seemed to be the theme throughout the night for me, that these matches were good matches, but it could have been on Raw, like I said. So, but, I mean, I still enjoyed Apollo. Has always been an amazing talent to me. So if we're going to talk body slams, 3 body slams. Nothing too out of the ordinary crazy, just a solid match.
We all 3 picked Apollo Crews to win, so we all were correct in our prediction. Joey, I have it written right here. Well, a Raw quality match, and I agree. There was something missing. It didn't have that big fight feel to it. But overall, it was good for what it was. I also, if we're going to rate each individual match, I would give it 3 body slams as well. Ran, now that you got your thesaurus to look up cool words as well, what do you think
What's
about
it? Another word for thesaurus?
Oh, Jesus.
Book of synonyms. Anyways, Rand, what do you think of Apollo Crews taking on MVP?
I don't think we're done with these gentlemen going back and forth. I think there's going to be some additions to the Hurt Company. Apollo Crews is somebody they either need to get on or just let go.
I think he's
capable of going much further. I thought it was a raw quality match.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with you, Rand. As I said last week, I'm kind of over Apollo Crews. They need to do something with him or let him go. I agree wholeheartedly. There's just
shit or get off the pot.
That is the old-timey saying. You got it. Okay, so here was a question that I proposed here in the midst of getting prepared for SummerSlam. So we have another pay-per-view this Sunday, Payback, correct?
Yep.
So will we see different people? Will we see different people on Payback that we didn't see on SummerSlam? For an example, we didn't see the women's tag titles being defended. We didn't see the Intercontinental title being defended. So will those things be on that show will there be? And I think we got a little bit of a hint of that last night, you know, with some of the matches coming together for Payback.
I think so. I think they're going to, you're going to see, I think they're setting up stuff. I don't know where they're going. Like, let's say, for example, with the Aleister Black, Kevin Owens angle. I don't know if they're setting up for a match for Payback or for further down the road, but I think I think Payback might kind of be in somewhat, lack of a better term, SummerSlam night two, for some of the matches that they couldn't get on there. Because like I'm sure you'll see IC rematch between Hardy and AJ Styles. They already signed the three-way dance for the Universal title. The tag match has been made, women's tag match, excuse me. So I think there's some stuff, like maybe we'll see the SmackDown tag titles get defended. Me, that's what it was lacking on this show is you have all these titles and all these champions. Why aren't your champions on your main pay-per-view? Mm-hmm. That's why it just didn't have the big match quality because it's not all their champions were fighting.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. And that goes back to what we talked about last week too. Are there too many titles? Do we need to start thinning the herd a little bit so that they mean something?
The name Payback would almost signify a rematch, but that's not necessarily the case.
No, there are no rematches, are there, so far?
Well, the Universal title is always a three-way with Roman Reigns.
Right.
I just don't think they got to book SummerSlam totally like they wanted to because of COVID. I mean, I think there's stories they still want to tell, and this has really jumbled up a lot of that for them right now. So,
yeah.
But it'll be interesting. I think Payback will have some decent matches. And you'll see some different superstars.
All right, well, let's move along as we have the SmackDown Women's Champion, Bayley, taking on Asuka. Bayley gets the victory when there is a little interference or distraction from Sasha Banks. It leads to a miscue, and Bayley wins with the roll-up. I think that as I look at our list of predictions here, Rand had Asuka winning. Joey and I had picked Bayley. And although maybe not the way that we thought it would go down, but I thought this match actually was really good. Not as good as the next women's match with Asuka, but this one I thought was pretty solid. Rand, what do you think?
I think you're exactly correct. I think I saw it going the other way because I thought the tension would be Sasha keeping the belt and Bayley losing it. As it turns out, Bayley keeps the belt and Sasha loses hers later. I had it backwards.
Yeah, Joey, what'd you think of this match overall?
I enjoyed the match. Nobody is working harder right now than those two ladies, Bayley and Sasha. And to take it to a whole other level and get a lot more respect for them is the documentary they did on them about their takeover match. Mm-hmm. And it kind of takes you into their frame of mind, and it's always nice to do it that way. Bayley's been working her butt off since her heel turn, and she's able to do more with her character because as a face Bayley, she was limited. Mm-hmm. And she's able to do more and she's able to be more creative. And you know, what's great is they're both fans. So they want what we want and they want to put on a good product. And what better worker or wrestler to do it with than Asuka? And both matches definitely deliver.
Yeah, I agree. And I agree with you on the count that I believe that Bayley has really stepped up her game with the heel turn, because I think there were some questions maybe that could she pull it off?
Honest, and I think even on here, we probably shit on her a few times because of, and you go back and think of it, it's because of the direction of the babyface character, because your hands are tied at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's been nice about this. Now, there's all kinds of ways we can go with it now, especially when these two ladies feud. Who's going to go face, who's going to go heel, and it's going to be interesting to see how that pans out, too.
And I believe that's one of the matches that they're trying to set up for Payback, correct? In which Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler will be teaming the unlikely tag team against the golden role models for the WWE women's tag titles.
It's nice to see how the whole let's throw two superstars together is leading over to the women's division now.
Yeah. They just showed the other two members of Shayna's clique, that Jessamine and Marina. They just showed her backstage. Why would she team with Nia Jax? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
I mean, they tried to set it up last night, but I guess because they want to get these ladies involved in programs, but I don't know.
Which inevitably we know it's just going to end up with the two of them turning on each other, and there you go. It's nothing new we haven't seen in – I'm not looking forward to it. Of course, I'm not a fan of Nia Jax. I've been very upfront about that. I don't think she's a very good worker. I mean, case in point, she's hurt how many people? So we'll just leave it at that. All right, we are moving on.
I concur. Which tag team splits up and turns on each other?
Banks and Bayley do it first, and then later it'll be Nia and Shayna. Or hell, so, it'll probably be two nights later, probably it'll be Shayna and Nia.
I think they're going to carry Bayley and Sasha till Survivor Series at least. Maybe even Rumble. I think they're going to stretch it out.
Well, that's good. I hope they do. Why not build that? But so then that means Nia and Shayna will split up first.
And then you'll see like a three-way dance for the Raw Women's title of Shayna, Nia, and Asuka.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe even a four corners match when you throw Sasha back in there.
Not a coal miner's glove match?
Or Dominic on a pole. No.
Well, you forget about Viagra on a pole, too.
Could you imagine if they did Dominic on a pole in 2020? Everybody's upset about the kids in cages now. You throw it on a pole in the middle of a wrestling ring, people will flip their lid.
Yes, they would. Especially if there was even the thought of maybe this poor kid that's stuck on a pole might get deported. Yeah, that would be, even though he's an American citizen.
Where's his poor father? He's clear down in the ring and the kid's all the way up on a pole.
All right, we'll get to Dominic Mysterio here in a little bit. But let's move on with the WWE Raw Tag Team titles are on the line. The Street Profits are taking on Andrade and Garza. I thought this might be the worst. At the time I wrote down, this is the worst match of the show. But not as bad as another one. But this match was not structured very, very well. I'm just going to throw it out there. Montez Ford has all the enthusiasm and all of the charisma. Why is he taking all the heat? D'Angelo Dawkins takes the hot tag. Why? I don't know. I just felt like that was anticlimactic that Mr. Dawkins got in the ring there instead of Montez Ford. I think Ford would be the better person to take the hot tag. That's just my two cents.
Overall, ring psychology sucked. I've never, like, their pre-match hype I'm all about, but, I mean, I'll tell you what else had me hype was Big Cass and Enzo. Like, that was great. Then you got in the ring, and then it was got to be a train wreck sometime. These guys have charisma, and they have this. But there's just, like I said about the first match, this match was missing something.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have the tag team. Well, they've been a tag team for him, but they're still kind of thrown together against the tag team champions. And I like their charisma. Like, I think Tez would be an awesome manager. He's athletic, but there's just something that just is missing there. Maybe it's my demo. Maybe I'm just old and I'm not all the way into the gimmick, but I got to give this match. I guess I would give Bayley an Asuka 4.5 body slams. I would give this 2.5.
You know what? Thanks for reminding me. I forgot to get our ratings on that. We'll come back.
I think that's being generous just because, like, I wasn't into the match. I just couldn't get into it. I didn't enjoy it. I wanted to. I really wanted to, you know, I just couldn't get into it. So 2.5 body slams.
Rand, what do you think about the Street Profits taking on Garza and Andrade?
I think I saw a Frankensteiner, which I have not seen in a long time.
Was it a Randa Kenrana?
No.
No.
It was a Frankensteiner.
Okay.
Well, we all three of us.
I thought it was a slightly below average match as well.
Yeah. I was going to say, we all three picked that the Street Profits would win. That's exactly what happened. I'll give it 2 body slams. Rand, what are you going with?
Slightly below average. I'm going 2 out of 5 as well.
All right.
Here's why I got a half a body slam. Zelina Vega. Just her being there alone is worth half a body slam. That's why I gave it 2.
Okay, here's my other gripe real quick. All right. What are they doing with this Charlie Caruso, Zelina Vega, stupid bachelor girl, and Garza? What the hell is this? What is this story?
You're just jealous, first of all. I know that you're all about Chuck. I get that.
Charlie Caruso is a fine, fine young lady. That's all I'm going to say.
I don't understand. I think that's just goofy. Like, the whole thing, because when Garza was ex to NXT, they're talking about how he just got engaged. Now, so that was the, now all of a sudden he's this ladies' man and this, that, and the other. And
It's stupid. It's not going to go anywhere. They're going to drop it. You know they are, because Charlie's not going to get involved in a program with Zelina Vega.
I think it's weak. that they're promoting another show that's on at the same time. The Bachelor's a Monday night show, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
You're asking us, correct? You're the one that watches it.
Touche, Joey. Touche. You were in the group text and said you watch it every once in a while.
What happened to him? Ran? You there?
I don't understand the Bachelorette either.
By the way, Ran, what do you give Bailey and Asuka? I'm gonna give it four body slams, much like Joey. Four as well.
Four as well.
All right. Okay. Actually, I wrote down some notes on this next match, but I think we could just go ahead and just cross some of those out. We had Mandy versus Sonya Deville. The stipulation has changed. It's no longer hair versus hair. It is now loser leaves WWE. For those that don't know, the story goes that apparently per Sonya's request and her lawyer's request that the stipulation be changed because she has court coming up real soon due to the stalker incident, and the attorney didn't think it would be smart to walk into court with a shaved head, so it was changed to loser leaves WWE. Joey, I know it's an audio podcast, folks. He was visibly shaken by the mere mention of this match. So, Joey, are you you got some opinions about this?
Well, first, I was visibly shaken by the video close up of Rand. That kind of visibly. First. All gold everything, all right? But you can still take a piece of shit, paint it gold, and it's still a piece of shit. This match was terrible from the get-go, especially how we were spoiled with the first women's match and then the other women's match that went, and then you put them in there. I don't – like, Mandy Rose gets a pass because she's hot. She can't work. There was something about that. I actually thought Sonya brought a little bit more. I thought there was a couple spots she looked solid with some stuff, but being generous again. And that's the only reason why I would give this two body slams. I would have gave it one, but Sonya carried her. I don't understand why we're at a period where there's women that need to get on these shows that are sitting in the back, and you have people like Mandy Rose or like Lana that gets spots when they can't work. And that's really annoying to me. So like I said, and I'm being generous, but two body slams.
Well, let's go to the resident fan of Mandy Rose, Ringside Rand. What did you give this match?
I think that Mandy is looking like the Sharon Stone character from Basic Instinct. I thought it was marginal. I thought it was pretty average, nothing special. She can do a lot better.
So what do you give it on a scale of 1 to 5 body slams?
1.5.
This match was bad. I wrote down, does Mandy only know how to throw knee strikes? Because that's all she did. Oh, wait, no. No, you know what? You know what else she did? Readjusted her gear all the time, as did Sonya. Did you not try your gear out before you got to the ring? Because they constantly were fixing their gear. It's like, stop it. That's annoying and distracting. And it's the WWE. That shit shouldn't happen. Your gear should be pristine.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of an old Divas match. They could have just called it a brawl and panties match, and it would have been – that's the type of quality match it was, and that's what was upsetting to me. That match almost kind of set their women's division back.
Yeah, and here it is. They said it's no disqualification. So you're like, okay, now – you can, even if you're not the best worker, we could get something going here, you know, hide some of the weaknesses of these two. And it was like the whole, I'm going to throw the chair and slide it across the top of the tape. What the hell? What is that? It was terrible.
And I thought the whole time we're going to have a crazy table spot.
Yeah. And nothing happened. It was bad. Yeah. So I'm giving it a one body slam.
Yeah, it reminds me of a time that I was with a girl that was, dude, she was beyond attractive. Like, this girl was just like, we worked at Easton together. Everybody had a thing for her, but it was hot. It kind of, you know, it looked good on the outside, but when it got to the behind the closed doors thing, it had the same type of situation. It was very disappointing, and that's what this match was to me. I was kind of hyped to be a no DQ, and lo and behold, I was blue and disappointed.
For those listening at home, apparently DJ Joey Blaze, he's pulling back the curtain, you know?
What? I'm spread wide open. I'm an open book. I am spread like the wings of sorceress.
Okay. Thank you, Joey, for sharing. I mean, it's good that you feel comfortable enough in this environment to share your most personal and intimate details.
Eternia forever, baby. Sure. Why not?
All right, let's move on to what we joked about earlier. It's time for Dominic Mysterio to take on Seth Rollins. By the way, sorry. We had picked Rand and Joey had picked Mandy Rose. I was the doofus that picked Sonya Deville to win in the predictions. All right, let's get to it. Seth Rollins, Dominic. I'll go first. I love Seth's tights. Those are great. Breaking out the old WCW Rey Mysterio tights. That was good. You know what I hated? Dominic's tights. Who thought it'd be a good idea to wear a hoodie in the ring? Seriously.
I thought it was going to be one of those old hoodies. Remember a few years back where you put the hoodie over and you zip it up and it had a mask?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they had like, you know, Jason Voorhees and stuff. Yeah. Like it was kind of a fashion thing. I think there was a couple like Supreme or somebody did some hoodies like that and everybody lost their shit. That's what I thought it was going to be. And then when he gets in the ring, like you said, and he goes to just like the girls kept adjusting their boobies and other stuff. He adjusted his hood. I don't know how many times.
And my thing is he's gone on record and said he wants to wear the gear that dad wears. So this would be the perfect, it's SummerSlam. It's one of your big events. Why not debut him as that? You know, I mean, he's even said that he wants to have a totally different name too. Fine. The name doesn't have to be changed right away, but that was the day right there to come out with the mask and the tights, just like dad, and go for it. Rand, what'd you think of the match?
Handcuffs, tables, and chairs. Oh my.
You forgot kendo sticks.
No, I didn't. They have. Is this series over, or will they somehow get more out of this?
I know you're not a fan, Rand, of the whole Rey Mysterio and I losing the eye, and I wasn't either. But, I mean, you really that turned off by this feud that you want to see it go bye-bye?
Yeah. Okay. I didn't do anything for me. I think it's kind of wrong to ban somebody as rookie, give them a match against one of the top people.
Well, yeah, I don't think the build-up was that great for it. I thought the match was okay. I would have given it 3 body slams just because it's okay. There's nothing to write home about. You know, they did their brawling that they promised. They brought mom down for a little tearjerker moment, you know. But, yeah, I was not by any stretch of the imagination thought that this was like a mind-blowing match. So, Joey, what do you think was your rating for this match?
Well, first, I'll give it 3 body slams myself, maybe close to 3.5, just for the simple fact. Dominic impressed me. I know he's been training, and I know who's been training him, but it was very impressive, just for the simple fact, okay, it was against a top star, but it was against a top star, too, so you have that spotlight on you. And I think if you're going to go against somebody, I personally think Seth makes sense, because Seth can go, he can change his style, and he can work with all kinds of people. All across the board, we've seen him work the gamut of people. Like he worked Ray, then he can work somebody like Show if he wanted to work Show. Like he can work different people and different styles. So I thought that made Seth the perfect first opponent. And I think it could make, if they continue the feud, a Buddy Murphy a good opponent, because Murphy can work his ass off too. And I like the match. I don't mind the feud. I think it's something that they can still build off of. I still think that now's the perfect time. Ray couldn't save Dominic from retribution. Well, maybe Dominic, Seth can say, I could have saved you. I can save you. And now's the time you put Dominic with Seth.
I think that this feud is not over by any stretch of the imagination. I think we're going to see it for a little bit longer. I'm not so sure that I see Dominic going against Dad, but that would be sweet. I would dig that, but I don't know if I see that happening. I
think our predictions on that.
Our predictions, by the way, that let's see, Rand had picked Seth Rollins. You and I had picked Dominic. So
my first one wrong.
Yeah, Rand, did you have anything else you wanted to throw in to the Dominic Seth discussion here?
If you're going to be the Messiah, have a cult that doesn't fit in on your bicycle that you can have more than one person. Since the AOP is injured.
I like that Rand made it like a bicycle for two, like it was Murphy and Rollins, man.
They should enter the Thunderdome like that on a bicycle for two.
They should. Well, what happened with Austin Theory? Because he wasn't supposed to be one of the acolytes of Rollins. Is he hurt or?
I heard there was having some personal issues that they're dealing with. I don't know. Maybe it was COVID and something else. They've kept everything tight on COVID, who's had it and what's going on.
Okay.
But yeah, there's some, they said something about personal issues. I think Meltzer talked about it recently. I don't exactly know what happened. I read something, but I think there's some personal issues going on. I think when he comes back, he'll be part of it. So I think they're waiting for the right time to kind of plug him back in. So you'll probably see like another tag match or something, and then he'll come out and help them. And
okay.
That would be my assumption, unless they just totally write him out of there. But I think he'll come. I think when he comes back, he'll be a part of them still.
All right, we're moving on to the next ladies' match. Sasha Banks taking on Asuka for the WWE Raw Women's Championship. Wow, I'm just gonna say it. Bayley and Asuka was a good match. This was fantastic. I'm gonna give this 5 body slams. I mean, it was really well done. Asuka wins with the submission after a few. Possible reverses. I liked it a lot. Rand, what do you think? I know you've already given us the 5 on the hand there, but what do you think? What did you like about the match?
I think the spot of the night was when Asuka took a sunset flip from the ring to the floor. That was just, she took a big shot. I thought it was the best match of the night. Yes, four and a half.
4.5. Okay. Joey, what say you?
He's a tough one to impress, isn't he? 4.5? Those girls left it all in the ring. I think when you take SummerSlam and you look at it, I think everybody should study from what those ladies did is because it told a story. So this match told a story. Bayley's match told a story. And then the stories intertwine. So, and that's such an important item in professional wrestling that's missing a lot of the time. In my opinion, that's what's missing with a lot of the rivalries going on in that other organization, AEW, the rival organization is not just storylines, but stories. Tell a story during the match. And both all three of these women pulled it off immaculately, in my opinion. Sasha, it just keeps proving over and over again how great she is. The same as Asuka. I watched the pay-per-view the other night, and Bridget, my girlfriend, was here. We were watching. And she didn't really watch, but she was plugged into the women's matches because these women are outdoing the men, to be honest. You know, and it's very inspiring, and I hope that inspired some of the locker room, too. So I know he said 4.5. I'm with you, John. I'm giving it 5 just because of the storytelling and what the direction that it took the storyline. And then just the work rate was off the hook. So that's why I gave it 5 bodies.
Yep. All right. Let's move on to the title match that we have where Drew McIntyre is going to defend WWE Championship against Randy Orton. Joey, I'll let you start. What did you think of this match?
I was into it. It kind of reminded me of an old school match because Randy can play that old school heel up like no other. The slide out, you know, the whole just irritating. This is Zabisco. Exactly. God, yeah, that's a perfect analogy with – and, you know, he was doing that, so that was fun. And Drew gets frustrated. And then just the old school psychology of that match. And then it took me back because you got the bigger guys. So it was like that 80s feel, the bigger guys wrestling each other, doing the stuff, power moves. And then all of a sudden, Drew wins with a freaking backslide. I thought that was the most goofiest take it home in the history for those two. You know who wins with a backslide? Dominic Mysterio over Seth Rollins. That's how you would have done that. Drew McIntyre, big badass Drew, doesn't beat Randy Orton by a backslide. And that really perturbed me, the ending of that match. And because of that, I'm only giving it 3 body slams because it had great ingredients, but it was left in the oven too long. And there just something just didn't go right. It didn't bake right. It didn't, at the end, it just didn't stick together.
Okay, I'm going to disagree with you. I agree with everything you said about the match. I thought it had a real old school feel to it. It felt super important. Love the old school Zabisco, if you will, where I'm always going to get out of the ring and frustrate my opponent. I love the ending because you didn't expect it. You got
it. You didn't see it coming.
You did not see it coming. And you know who pitched that idea. I would bet you $25 Ric Flair mentioned that in the back. Hey, we could do it like Kerry and I in 84.
With Kerry and Flair would make sense because they're wrestlers. Like, they wrestled. They're 60-minute men. You know what I'm saying? These guys are beat the piss out of, and Drew's beat the piss out. Like, that's like Hulk Hogan pinning Bundy like that or something, or pinning somebody with the backslide like that, in my opinion, because it's a bigger dude. I just didn't like the psychology of it. Plus, you didn't get to see an RKO. I mean, you could still excel the storyline without that ending, in my opinion.
Okay. Rand, what did you think about Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre?
Hey, that backslide?
Yeah.
Didn't see it coming.
Thank you. So what'd you give it? How many body slams?
I was somewhat disappointed, but I'm going to give it 3.5.
Okay. I'm going to give it 4 body slams. I liked it a lot.
Who picked 2? What was the predictions on those?
Oh, predictions. Sorry. I forgot about that. Rand and I picked Drew McIntyre. You picked Randy Orton.
I did.
You did. So, and when we go back one more to Sasha Banks and Asuka, I picked Sasha. You and Rand had picked Asuka.
I'm going to interrupt this review of SummerSlam with DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Rand for just one moment to remind you about the great sponsor of the PVD cast, and that's World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, and they've got tons of comics, graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, collectibles, back issues, posters, basically anything you need for your fandom, they have. And they also have one world-class pull system as well. So sign on up, man, and you will never miss a single issue of your favorite comic. So stop by the store and say hello to Jeff and the other fine folks at World's Greatest Comics. Or you can check them out online at wgcomics.com. Or you can find them on Facebook. Just go to @WGComics in the search engine of Facebook and you'll find their page. And no matter how you interact with them, whether live or over the internet, please let them know that you heard about the store from me, John Orlando, on the PVD cast.
All right, our main event, The Fiend versus Braun Strowman. I think this is the second worst match on the card. I think Sonya and Mandy was bad. This is pretty bad. Then maybe that tag match is third, but it was everything that Drew and Randy was not. I was bored with the match. I wasn't invested in it. I didn't feel like the action was that hard hitting or that interesting. The finish was lame as shit. It's getting a 1.5 body slam.
Of all the things that they've pulled out from underneath the ring, the toolbox made sense. They used the toolbox. Braun took 2 Sister Abigails on the exposed ring. Braun said at the end, "You're just a freak in a mask and you can't handle the responsibilities."
Did Roman say that or did Braun?
Roman said that.
Roman did.
Okay.
Okay. Do we have responsibilities?
Well, Joey, I'll go ahead and let you go first. I'll hold that comment. Go ahead. What'd you think?
So I have different aspirations when I hear falls count anywhere, especially in the time of COVID, especially in a feud between Braun Strowman and The Fiend. You have an empty parking lot because nobody's at the Amway Center. You have a huge arena. You have all that at your disposal. Falls count anywhere. You literally go to the gorilla and come back. First, that's my first pet peeve. I see a falls count anywhere. And then second pet peeve, when I see that, I want to see more plunder. I want to see more people getting shit broke over them. You have 2 guys like that, like kitchen sink, like everything. Like, you know, we didn't see a trash can at all on these hardcore matches. Like, trash cans, that's a
especially like, for the last match of the night. They could have done right. So much.
Yes. Right. I expected all this stuff. I expected over the top. And I mean, I feel like it just didn't make sense for the type of match it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's a falls count anywhere. And the fall happened in the ring. I hate when you have a falls count anywhere match and the fall takes place in the ring too. That drives me bonkers. So the psychology of it sucked. To me, it wasn't the worst match because they actually did more stuff that made sense than the women's match that we spoke of. I would give it 1.75 body slams, I guess, if I was to rate it. So like a scoop slam and then a scoop and a roll up or something. I don't know. It pissed me off.
Or body slam or a backslide.
A body slam and a backslide.
I just got so upset. And then Roman makings, that made sense. But like I said, I would have booked it with Otis coming out. The Fiend's done. He pins the Fiend, and then you have a four corners match at Payback. The belt's off of Otis that fast, and that storyline ran its course. Mm-hmm. And then you don't have to deal with it. So that should not have been the main event of the evening, because you're expecting so much from the cinematic match and for two big guys like that can go. It's not like you have Great Khali versus Great Khali. You had two big dudes that could go, and that's what was upsetting. I'm a mark for both of them, and I think it was kind of, it grinded my gears for sure.
I think the moment of the night was Roman's return, because you didn't see it coming.
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree with that. Is everything good with him? I mean, I'm assuming that everything health-wise is A-okay with him, and that's why he's back. Rand looked at me like, what you talking about, Willis? You don't think, Rand, that, like, health is a concern with him now?
Having trouble with my equipment.
There's pills for that. They're small and they're blue.
I think Otis is a complete waste of money in the bank so far.
Okay.
There were so many things they could have done.
Shall we move on to NXT?
Let's shall.
Okay. So real quickly, Rand, before we start with NXT, you were trying to show us something here via video conference just a little bit ago.
I just saw on Twitter, which, you know, is a reliable source, Wade Baird is returning to commentary tonight.
Oh, he's returning to NXT for commentary.
I see that right now.
So is the NWA just done then?
I hope not, but it has to be. Thunder Rosa's in AEW. Starks is in AEW.
Yeah. I mean, because Billy Corgan released a statement saying that it was not done, that they had working agreements with different companies and all this jazz. But how do you have your women's champion show up on AEW?
With the belt.
Right. Exactly.
That threw me off.
No. Same here.
If that happens, I would like to see some of those guys land in NXT. I'd like to see Eli Drake finally come back to NXT and do something personally. I think that'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah. Aaron Stevens. I would love to see him come back. So let's talk about NXT. Okay, scale of 1 to 5 body slams. I'm giving it 4 out of 5 body slams. I thought NXT was pretty good. My only gripe is that they're falling into the mindset of AEW where every match has to be 30 minutes. Like there were matches I'm like, you could trim this down by 5 minutes and it would be just so perfect as a match. I feel like the ladder match went way too long. Like, it could have been wrapped up a little bit earlier. I felt like a lot of these matches went a little bit long. So, but let's start it off with that, as I have my notes right here. We have Timothy Thatcher taking on Finn Balor. This was a fantastic match. This is probably one of the best matches I've seen in a while. I thought this was a great, great match. I dig Timothy Thatcher.
I personally like Thatcher, too. I mean, I think what's going to be weird, though, is has he going to translate here after he runs a course in NXT? And that's one of those guys I don't think that can translate to the next level, because they'll have to put some sort of goofy gimmick on him.
Right.
And but for what we had for NXT, and then Balor's money, dude. Balor is enjoying it, and I think that's why he's so money right now, too. He's finally enjoying it since he's been back in NXT. So I actually gave this match 4 body slams myself.
Mm-hmm.
It was just good. It was interesting, and it, even though that could have been an NXT show match, it was right for a pay-per-view, not like some of the matches on SummerSlam that could have been a Raw match. Yep. So I gave it 4 body slams.
I'll give it 5 out of 5. Rand, any comments?
I'm keeping them to myself. No thanks.
All right. Moving on to the ladder match, which had some changes to it. Ridge Holland not in the ladder match. Due to injury, if I remember correctly, right, Joey?
Well, no, they had that match. They did the match on NXT the week before between Kevin Gargano, and Gargano won the match, so he was in there.
Oh, okay.
It's so, like Velveteen Dream that's how he got in as well.
Okay, so that's where we, okay, so we had Grimes, mm-hmm. Priest, Reed, Bronson Reed, Velveteen Dream, Johnny Gargano. I really, like I said, this match was, if for what it was good, although I did find it annoying, and I always find it annoying, and this was even worse when Dream got up on one of those ladders and literally headbutted the belt, and I'm just, turn around, just grab it, you know, but he was waiting. That kind of was bad. But for what it was okay. And, you know, I'm glad to see Damian Priest, the guy that I predicted to win it, to pick up the victory and win the North American title.
So this match, if I were to give it a rating on body slams, we're used to something else with NXT. And we get used to that. This match was decent, but it wasn't the best for an NXT ladder match. So I'll give it 3.5 out of 5. If this ladder match was in the Thunderdome, it takes it to 4 or 4.5. Because I think because you're confined to that when this is supposed to be, because TakeOver is supposed to be on a larger stage. I think if they would have done TakeOver at the Thunderdome as well, I think the spots, like, you wouldn't have seen what happened with Velveteen Dream. Mm-hmm. And some different things like that, I think it would have made this match better. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't get stuck watching the exit sign in the background. Stuff like that, you know, these little things. Like, just pitch dark. And so I think the ambiance kind of took away from it. I love Bronson Reed's new gear. Like, I marked out like that for no other, because Bigelow was the man, and he never really got the respect he deserved, I don't think. That's a whole other podcast. But I enjoyed it. The only reason I gave it 3.5 was because it was a little lengthy, and it wasn't, if I'm comparing it to if that was a ladder match on Raw, it would be better too. So I think it was kind of the atmosphere and the ambiance is why I'm grading it maybe as a little bit lower.
I'm going to give it 3 as well, because like I said, I think it went way too long. Rand, any comments on the ladder match?
It was what we expected it to be.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't going to be a 5-star classic. Okay, let me tell you that this maybe was the surprise of the weekend. And I'm even meaning, talking about even everything that happened at SummerSlam, everything that happened prior to this match, this was the surprise of the weekend. Adam Cole beats Pat McAfee, in a match that was 10 times better than anyone expected it to be. Mad props to Pat McAfee. That dude's a hell of an athlete, hands down. For a dude that's never wrestled one day in his life, goddamn, he put on a performance. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, they obviously trained hard leading up to it, because there was, and it wasn't the basic armbar, arm drag. Like, there was some hard spots to do. And then, like you said, his simple athleticism of the stuff that he pulled off during that match. And it was kind of cool seeing AJ Hawk being a Buckeye fan. That AJ Hawk led him to he was there with him in his corner. But I actually, if I were to, I would rate this 4 out of 5 body slams. I was entertained. That's the main thing. Like, it drew me in. Like, I know people said, oh, just you get this B-list celebrity or whatever. But I'm a big sports fan. And Pat McAfee here, he's on all those pre-shows and talk shows and this, that, and the other. And he just delivered. That's just the bottom line. So that's why I gave it 4 body slams.
I give it 4 because it could have been trimmed down a little bit. I think this was one that it could have just been cut down just a little bit, and it would have been all right. Rand, do you have any thoughts on Pat McAfee versus Adam Cole?
Pleasant surprise. I agree.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, I'll be honest, I think in our predictions, Joey, you and I had picked Pat McAfee to go over. So, Rand, you were the smart one picking Adam Cole, baby. Here we go. Io Shirai defeated Dakota Kai in a match that, again, Rand, you kind of made the comment last week that Rhea Ripley somehow would be involved. Now, granted, she wasn't in the match, but she did have something to do after the match. I thought this match was pretty good, too. Again, just long. That's it. Rand, what do you think about this ladies' matchup for NXT?
I think we need more Rhea Ripley. I think she can be a big deal.
I agree. But I won't lie. I would be fascinated to watch Gonzalez take on Rhea Ripley. Joey, what do you think?
The Dakota Kai-Gonzalez dynamic is interesting. It's Sean and Diesel for women.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty cool. Dakota Kai really impressed me with this match, personally. I've watched not as much of her stuff as I should have, but it was very entertaining. And Io Shirai, she always delivers, and she really, I thought she delivered well. I gave this 4 out of 5, 2 for this, 4 out of 5 slams for, like you said, maybe went a little long, but it was nice to see, like, the face-to-face between Ripley and Gonzalez was really cool. You know, being two bigger badass women, right? So I was entertained. The women in WWE just stole the show for the most part this past weekend. And I can't give them enough props, even though we had the garbage match that we talked about. But the other three really kind of – and let's go back to the ladder match. Candice LeRae getting involved, that bump she took being on top of Bronson Reed, like, that was awesome, too. It was really great to see so many women deliver this weekend and under the WWE umbrella. So I give it 4 out of 5 body slams.
I would give it 4 out of 5. Rand, are you in agreement with us?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You now are. Now for our main event, Keith Lee. Keith Lee defending the NXT title against Karrion Kross. Look, I like the match. In fact, I'm going to give the match a 4 out of 5. But I think I'm the only one in our group of friends, and probably the only one on the East Coast or the Midwest or anywhere in the United States that believes this. I think it's too soon to move Keith Lee up to the main roster. I'm sorry.
I think it's not. I think you should have done it more when he was hot with Survivor Series or Rumble. He was hot. WWE seems to be when people are hot and things are hot, they just kind of wait too late to do it. Like the whole Alexa Bliss, Braun Strowman thing out of nowhere. Like that's 2 years too late. I like the Keith Lee thing. I thought it was just, I think the timing's weird. But this match for the whole show, I thought this was the worst match because Karrion Kross isn't a normal NXT guy. His style translates better to the main roster than it does NXT. And something seemed off about this match at times to me. There was a couple missed spots that I noticed. So I don't know what it was. Something just seemed off. And then I didn't see the ending coming. I didn't think Keith Lee is going to drop the belt that fast. But obviously now we know why. I give this match, and I'm being generous with 3 out of 5 body slams. And I'm a huge Keith Lee fan. I just felt like it wasn't a normal Keith Lee match. Because you get like when he showed up on Raw and then when he wrestled Randy and he catches Randy's fist and like that was cool. There wasn't too many cool moments with him in this, like you would see against maybe Dominic Dijakovic or, you know, or any of these other guys. And he can work just like anybody else. He can work smaller guys. And there was just something about it. And then the thing that was weighing on me, sorry, I'm saying so much here, but you made the comment that Karrion Kross is the Mark Miro of 2020. And I'm like, I don't get it. But watching this match, I thought about it, and I was like, damn it, John, I think, has a point. Because I just don't get him. I don't get the gimmick in NXT. And I think his woman could be much more over than what he is. So I gave it 3 out of 5 body slams.
And here's the thing real quick. You know, it's been revealed that Kross got injured mid-match. He busted up a shoulder on a clothesline in the corner. He just was positioned wrong. Finished the match, but the shoulder was out of socket, actually. So that makes me wonder, you know, I know accidents happen. I get it. I understand that. Things go awry. But that's got to make you a little bit nervous that you just invested some time and energy to put the belt on this guy. And, you know, granted, supposedly it's better. But, you know, if you pop a shoulder out once,
it's going to pop out again.
Yeah, exactly. That's my thing. And so, yeah, I mean, I thought it was surprising that they put the belt on him. I don't know where they go from here. I'm assuming Donovan comes back into the picture and they do a little feud. But, yeah, I mean, the match, I like the match still. I'm still sticking by 4 out of 5. Maybe just because the shock factor helped to give me a little bit of that bump to go to 4. Ran, what'd you think?
I agree. I'm sorry. I didn't realize it was my turn to speak. Do you think that Keith Lee should have had a better send-off?
See, I just think, Rand, I think he still needs a little more time. But you know what? I'll give you credit, Joey. I'll give you credit. If they had pulled the trigger at the Royal Rumble, maybe I might be on board with it. because maybe you're right. You know, I just feel like he's just now come into his own on NXT, and now we're moving him up to the main roster. He's got the physique. He's got the skills. He's got the package, but maybe seasoning. Let's call it that. Maybe a little more seasoning down in NXT, and then move him up. So I don't know. It didn't work for me. But Joe, you were going to say something. I'm sorry.
No, like you said, they caught him up right in the middle of his stride. And that's happened to a few guys. Like, I think that kind of happened to Aleister Black maybe too. Like, you know, these guys are just getting going and getting their brand over. Let it run its course a little bit and then do it. Or, like I said, they should have pulled Survivors, or he's having these, you know, bumps up against Brock Lesnar or Strowman. You know, you do it then. And they didn't. So just the timing is just so weird.
Yeah. Agreed. Totally agreed.
Why didn't we see anything from Retribution?
Oh, you know what? Great question.
During what? SummerSlam or during NXT or showing up at your house, Rand? When?
Well, I think they're bothering my computer equipment. But if they're really these incredible troublemakers, at the beginning of the show, like 7 o'clock, they said, we've added security. Well, why didn't you add security the other times when they caused trouble? Why? What's different now?
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't, why they said that and then they never showed up on SummerSlam. I didn't get that. I'm not a huge fan of the Retribution storyline to begin with. And, you know.
Will they wind up like the Hacker? Will they wind up like Nexus? Will they wind up like the Shield? What are they going to be?
Well, wait a minute. The Shield had a run, so you got to disqualify them from that list of losers, okay?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There are some good and some bad. Which one are they going to be?
Oh, okay. I think they. I'm going to say they're going to be Nexus level. What do you think, Joey?
Well, if it depends on how they carry out the storyline. If they're trying to get people to invest and try and figure out who's in it, you just don't know what they want.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, you want to know what they want? You don't know what they want. So what? What are the Retribution? What, there's a reason why there's Retribution. What do you guys want? What, why are you wrong? Maybe have somebody in disguise their voice talk about it, you know, and behind just Black, almost like, oh gosh.
Black Scorpion.
No, I'm talking about the guy that wears the one mask, the computer hacker that's
Anonymous? Anyway,
Anonymous, that's it, boom.
Okay.
Oy vey. So anyways, jeez. Like something like that, and you disguise their voice and kind of but we don't know what they want. All they do is they show, okay, we get it. You can destroy stuff. Cool. That's awesome. Let's figure out why you're here. So
right.
I don't think they're doing enough with that, and that's why if they don't do something soon, then the gimmick's just dead in the water.
And my question is, if the rumors are true and Chelsea Green is part of this, like, what has she got to be angry about? You were getting a push. You're an attractive young lady. You got a sweet dude as a husband who has awesome wrestling toys.
He's kind of a chode at times, I think. But maybe that's why. Maybe she's Retribution against that.
God damn it. Matt, you bought more AWA Remcos. I'm revolting.
Well, they said that they think Dijakovic and Dio Madden. See, Madden makes sense, right? Because he was on the Raw announce team.
Shit, I forgot about him, to be honest with you.
So, he makes sense. I don't know why Dijakovic would make sense. You have to come up with something like that, so I don't know.
I don't know. All right, well, gentlemen, let's start closing up shop here. Rand, where can folks find you on the internet if they choose to do so?
Well, let's go with the ever-popular tweeter, at Rand Dittmar, and my equipment will be better next time. I apologize.
It's all right, man. It's no problem. Technology sometimes can be a pain in the ass. We know.
Not much of a budget here, by the way.
Well, that's all right. If I had tech guys, I'd send them over. But, you know, I had to let them go because of COVID. So
yeah, you had to furlough them.
I did. I had to furlough them. Yeah, it was a very, very sad day
Johnny
here.
Johnny Furlando.
That's how I signed all their last checks. Anyways. DJ Joey Blaze, where can folks find
you? You can find me at onlyfans.com/MrNinja. It's pretty crazy the things I can do with chopsticks and then a ninja outfit. But other than that, I'm on Twitter, twitter.com/DJ Joey Blaze. Send me a message, DM, it goes down there. Or, you know, tweet me, let me know what you guys think, when I'm on here, we're on here, we're doing this. I love interacting with people. Don't get a lot of that during COVID.
Can I interject for a minute? I want to know, can you divulge whether it's true or not that Mr. Ninja is going to be part of Akira Tozawa's group?
I cannot confirm or deny that because he is the baddest man from Baltimore to Singapore. Not confirm or deny that.
Okay. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, thanks, DJ Joey Blaze. Thank you, Ringside Ran. I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Ran, talking about the predictions that we made last week for SummerSlam and NXT. And maybe you'd like to comment on what you've heard here today, so let me tell you how you can do so. You can shoot me an email if you like, and my email address is johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @pvdmvp. And you can leave me a message over on the Facebook page or the Instagram page of this podcast. Just search for @PVDcast. And maybe you want to tell some folks about this great podcast. And you're like, I'm not sure all the different places where it's available, John. Well, let me fill you in on that. Obviously, the online home of yours truly, PVDcast.com, is a great place to go and snag episodes. But it's also available throughout most of the major podcasting platforms like Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, Deezer, etc., etc. In fact, if you're curious, just go to your favorite podcasting platform. In the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put PVDcast John Orlando, and it's sure to be there. And don't forget, you can always hear the PVDcast live every Monday night at 9:30 through Redline Radio LLC. So simply check out their Facebook page @RedlineRadioLLC. Check out their website, www.redlineradiollc.com. Or better yet, if you're an Android phone user, download the app. Of course, it's called Redline Radio LLC. And you can hear not only the PVDcast every Monday night at 9:30, but all of the great shows on the network. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. Thank you for listening to this episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, stay safe and healthy. Has been a production of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2020.